There is a moment in the late afternoon around 4 o'clock when the light in Muscat changes. It is not a softening exactly. The sun is still fierce, the air still shimmers off the road, but there is a shift, a kind of permission. The city, which has been holding its breath behind closed doors and drawn curtains, begins to stir. I felt it today as I stood on the balcony of my flat in Al-Khawer, watching the dust settle on the Muscat Expressway, and I thought, this is when the day actually starts. That has been the strangest thing about these first days here. Not the heat itself, which is real and physical and demands a kind of respect I am still learning. No, it is the inversion of time. The morning is a blur of errands and paperwork, a necessary compromise with the sun. But the evening belongs to the people. I have seen it every night since I landed, and I still haven't got used to it. Today started early, the alarm cutting through the pre-dawn stillness. I had woken with a purpose, a small mission that had been nagging at me since I saw the posters. The Oman Convention and Exhibition Center is hosting something they are calling Sports Flame 2026. It has been running since mid-July and will carry on into the middle of August, filling those air-conditioned halls with 24 different sports. But what caught my attention, what I kept turning over in my mind, was the Muscat Night Run. It is exactly what it sounds like, a race through the streets of Madinat al-Irfan after sunset, when the temperature finally drops below the point where your lungs complain. I wanted to know if I could join it or at least stand at the edge of it and watch. Getting there was its own adventure. The Muscat Expressway, which is the spine of the city, is in the middle of a serious expansion. They are adding lanes, converting the roundabouts at Kurram Natural Park and say Al-Maili into proper signalized intersections. It is necessary work, I am told, and it will make a difference once it is done. But right now, it means that the city's main artery closes at 5 in the evening and reopens at 5 in the morning, with traffic diverted down side roads in a dance that seems to change every night. I took a taxi from Al-Khawer, and we crawled more than we drove, the driver muttering something in Arabic that I chose to interpret as sympathy for the roadworks rather than frustration at me. I paid him about 8 rials for the trouble, say $20, and I didn't begrudge a single baiser of it. The center itself is a vast, cool palace of glass and concrete, and the moment I stepped inside, I understood why the city retreats here in August. The air was crisp, almost cold, and the contrast made my skin prickle. The halls were busy, not crowded, but lively in that easy way of a place where families come to escape the heat. I found a young woman at a registration desk who spoke English with a Filipino accent, and she told me that the night run was in 2 days' time, and yes, there were still places left if I wanted to sign up. The fee was 15 rials, around $40, which seemed reasonable for a race with a medal and a finisher's t-shirt. I took a form, folded it carefully. I wandered through the halls for a while after that. There was a basketball tournament in one of them, the squeak of shoes on polished wood echoing in the high space. In another, a martial arts championship was in the middle of a match. Taekwondo, I think, the athletes flying through the air in a blur of white and red. I stood and watched for a few minutes, feeling the strange intimacy of watching strangers compete, the way you can be entirely absorbed in a sport you know nothing about. The air smelled of sweat and new carpet and the faint chemical tang of the air conditioning. It was a place of shared purpose, this building, and I found myself smiling for no particular reason. But I could not stay inside all day. I wanted to see the city in the light, to understand its geography before I explored it in the dark. So I left the cool of the center and stepped back into the furnace. The heat was a physical blow, a wall you push through, and I remember thinking, as I got into another taxi, that there is a particular honesty to this kind of weather. It does not pretend to be anything other than what it is. It demands your attention, your respect, your careful planning. I directed the driver not back to Al-Khawer, but towards the coast. There is a place I had noticed on my first day, a wadi that cuts down from the mountains to the sea. I had not had the chance to explore it yet, and I wanted to see it in the daylight. The taxi dropped me at the edge of a residential area, and I walked the rest of the way on foot, following the sound of water, a rare and precious sound in this dry month. The wadi was not what I expected. It was dry mostly, a broad channel of pale stone and sand where the winter rains must run in torrents. But there was a working phalange running through it, one of the ancient underground channels that bring water from the mountains to the settlements. It emerged from a culvert, ran in a straight, clear line for perhaps 100 meters, and then disappeared into the ground again. The water was cold, impossibly cold, and I knelt and put my hand in it, feeling the shock of it travel up my arm. There was a man sitting on a rock further along, watching me, and he nodded when I looked up. I nodded back, felt like a small, quiet secret we shared. I walked back towards the main road, and I was hungry. The biryani I had eaten on my first day had been a revelation, and I had been thinking about it ever since. I found a small restaurant near the Rui bus station, the kind of place where the menu is laminated and the chairs are plastic, but the food is honest. I ordered a plate of mutton biryani and a glass of fresh lime juice, and I ate slowly, watching the evening crowd gather outside. The biryani was a mountain of fragrant rice, tender meat, a boiled egg on top, and it cost me 2.5 riyals, something like $6.50. I sat there for a long time, letting the flavor settle, feeling the day's heat begin to leave my body. The cooler I got, the more I wanted to move. The sun had set by the time I finished, and the street was transforming. The shops that had been shuttered were open now, their goods spilling out onto the pavement. Men in white dishdashes and women in black abiyas walked slowly, unhurried, the same pace I had noticed on the corniche my first night. The tea shops were doing a brisk trade, little glasses of karak chai appearing on small tables like magic. I stopped at one and ordered a glass. It was 200 baisas, perhaps 50 cents, an absurdly small price for the pleasure it provides, and I stood at the counter watching the sugar dissolve in the milky tea. And then I walked to the corniche. I have walked it every evening since I arrived, and I suspect I will walk it every evening I am here. It stretches along the Mutra waterfront, a broad promenade of pale stone, and at this hour it is full of life. Families stroll together, children chase each other on scooters, groups of young men sit on the low walls and talk. The water is dark, almost black, but the lights of the port and the ships anchored in the bay dance across it in 1,000 small points of gold. I walked the full length of it from the souk to the old gate and back again. I was not thinking of anything in particular, just letting the rhythm of the place wash over me. The air was warm, but there was a breeze coming off the sea now, and it carried the smells of salt and diesel and the faint, sweet perfume of incense from somewhere nearby. A small group of men had set up a game of cards on a blanket, and they called out greetings to passersby, laughing at something I could not hear. This is the thing I am beginning to understand about Muscat in August. The heat is not an obstacle to be overcome, but a condition to be worked with. It shapes everything, the architecture, the food, the rhythm of the day. The city does not fight the sun. It accommodates it. It sleeps through the worst of it and comes alive in the evening, when the world is cool enough to be inhabited again. It is a slow, deliberate dance, and I am learning the steps. I signed up for the night run in the end. I did it before I left the convention center, handing over my 15 riyals and a copy of my passport, and receiving a race number and a safety pin. I am not a fast runner, and I suspect I will be near the back of the pack. But there is something appealing about running through these streets after dark, about being part of the city's nighttime awakening rather than just observing it. I have been told the route passes the Royal Opera House and winds through the old neighborhoods of Madinat Al Irfan, and I am curious to see them in that light. It is late now, and I am sitting on my balcony with a glass of water, listening to the distant hum of the city. The sky is clear, and the stars are bright in a way they never are in a polluted capital. I keep thinking about the phallage, about that cold water running through the dry wadi, about how it has been doing its quiet work for centuries. There is a deeper rhythm to this place, I am beginning to realize, one that runs beneath the heat and the traffic and the construction noise. It is patient and it is constant, and it has been here much longer than I have. I am looking forward to learning it. Tomorrow, I will start the process of understanding the practicalities of this city, transport, maybe, and the logistics of the journey south to Salalah, which is still the plan. The monsoon season there is in full swing, the mountains green and cool while the rest of the country bakes. But that is still a little way off. For now, I am here, in this city of heat and stone and sea, and I am content to let it teach me its slow, patient rhythms. Good night, from Muscat.